Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Is it a haunted flea market, or is it actually like a spooky themed flea market?
It's a spooky themed flea market.
Oh, all right.
Are you? Nope.
No. Yes.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Now, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. No, they do, it's just like an all night flea market. It's like an outdoor thing. They do it all every Halloween.
Usually
it's relatively Halloween themed.
For a real Halloween-y?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's people selling costumes and like not like real like handmade shit, but like, you know,
stuff they bought at Spirit.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, but it's not, that's the whole thing. It's like a junk flea market. You go out there and you could find like old shit, and you're like, oh, hey, I could really use this, I don't know, reissue of Optimus Prime from 2006. Okay, whatever. Like, how much is it? $20. Fuck you.
Did you find anything spooky?
No, I didn't get anything. So a couple years ago, I got a really cool, and it sounds really dumb now, but it's a cast iron key holder, like for like right next to the door where you put your keys up.
Okay,
and it's a bunch of black cats, and so we just have that hanging up in our house. But that was like 2 years ago. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't buy too much at flea markets anymore because I don't need anything anymore. So I don't need anything. Period. Like the last thing that I bought was a Hawaiian shirt, just so I could participate in Hawaiian Day at work. So I don't really buy stuff unless it's mini related.
Like the sales of steam tanks.
Unless it's steam tanks. No, I had those steam tanks for like 6 years.
Now they're finally going to be able to
now
see the light of day.
They're relevant.
Finally.
Actually, I have, in the course of building 3 steam tanks, metal steam tanks, I have perfected the art of building metal steam tanks.
That is a useless skill.
By the end of the third one, I was like, I am unbeatable.
That is a very useless skill.
You know what, though? Back in 2003?
Yeah, if you warp through time, you could have a maybe lucrative side business of just assembling steam tanks.
Yes, but they're fun. I whatever. So, everybody, hey, welcome to Game Classy. We're back!
A dinosaur story.
We took a break. I don't even remember why I had to take a break. I think it was just, like, shit was going on. Shit was real that weekend, and did not have an opportunity to record, but we're back. So speaking of stanks, we can start with my big revelation is that Cities of Sigmar is an awesome fucking book.
It's very cool.
Yes. So Games Workshop released Cities of Sigmar for Age of Sigmar, and it's a solid soup book. So when you have all that useless shit for your armies that were just kind of lying around, you could use it again, except for about half that is no longer in the book.
Right.
Some of that stuff is really odd why they took it out of it. I still don't know why they got rid of the High Elf Dragon. I don't know why they got rid of the White Lions, because those were both new kits, or relatively new kits.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of Empire Archers, which is weird. They're also a relatively new kit.
I figure you got that one. That specific one is probably just trimming, because you already have handgunners and crossbowmen.
Yes. And not only do you have handgunners and crossbowmen, but you have dark elf crossbowmen as well.
Right.
Yes.
So you have 3 range choices. Well, and then if you want to count all the range choices, there's the dwarf thunderers as well.
Yes, you have the dwarf thunderers.
So the army already has...
No, not the dwarf thunderers. The guys with the big cannons. They took out the thunderers.
I thought they had the dudes with the regular dwarf riflemen.
No, those guys are gone.
No? All right. Well, still... That's still 4.
They got the whatever they're called. Like, they got the big dragon cannons.
Okay, that's still 4 ranged units.
And it makes sense, because one is like a crossbow, like just like a standard shot. One is armor penetrating standard. One is like a fast shot, and one's like a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it covers all of the bases.
Right. So
yeah, I mean, it just kind of sucks that they don't have like a regular like bow and arrow dude. Like,
just trimming.
I know. I mean, you could substitute it and say like, my high elf bowmen are just free guild crossbowmen. They have pointy ears.
I would demand that they field the correct models.
No, are you kidding me? All the GW stuff goes, convert away, my friends. Convert away. Make it so it doesn't look like it belongs in the old world. We don't want anything to do with that game anymore. But the whole hook behind it is that you're building around like one of, I think it's like 5 or 6 cities that exist in the mortal realms. And those 6 cities, each city gives you like a list of unique spells, a list of unique abilities. The general gets some specific traits that he can use.
You can deep strike steam tanks if you want.
You can. I have yet to see anything that says anything against deep striking steam tanks. But you can deep strike them if you take the Living City, I believe. So you could hold your four steam, because you could take up to 9 steam tanks in an army. That's the limit that I came up with the 2,000 points. Is like you have to take the commander, and then you could take, because there are no limits on core choices, right? Or like battle line.
On battle line? No.
No. You could take as many battle line as you want. So you take 8 steam tanks, and that will fill your entire roll. That's your armored fist column for steam tanks. But if you do like a normal thing, you take about 4 units that you have up in the front. And then you put your 4 steam tanks in reserve, and then the 4 steam tanks come on like whatever table edge as long as they can. However, if they don't come on, they are lost.
And then you also lose because you can't claim any objectives.
No, you cannot claim any objectives. Oh, whatever. You know,
it's a very convoluted way to play the Ogre Hunters.
Yeah, it really is.
Beast Claw. It's a very complicated way to play Beast Claw Raiders.
Whatever, man. Steam tanks. You got your stanks.
I mean, you can definitely make a good army that's steam tank heavy.
Yeah, well, I think I came up with a fairly decent steam tank heavy, because that's what I'm going to do, man. I want to have stanks. I want to have stanks. So, yeah, that's... they have.
You said you're going to use your small stanks as your demigurse, right?
Yeah, my old 5th edition, tiny stanks.
The little stanks.
I already got those out. I have to
clean...
They're
like tankettes.
Yeah, they are like tankettes. I have to... That's an appropriate reference, Steve. I have to strip them, though, because I have one that's like... I bought them all secondhand years ago from a guy, and one is like covered in that. I don't even. It's like epoxy, but it's that thick yellow glue that you sometimes find on old models.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's not epoxy. Uh-huh. It's like something that you see do for like hobby modeling.
I think it was Gorilla Glue.
This was pre Gorilla Glue.
No. I think it was whatever Gorilla Glue was called before.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay,
because that's what it looks like. It looks like that yellow, that amber.
Yeah,
because I usually see that on any big old metal model.
Well, yeah,
whoever was building those, it must have been the same guy.
No, because as you go through the, like certain old models, like there's a certain point, like pre 98. Let's just say I'm gonna say that's the mark where it's like anything built pre 98 was built with the worst possible hobby. Paint, glue,
well, yeah,
whatever.
I mean,
it
was the Wild West back then. They're just like, I don't know, this is glue. It'll probably
and they're
work.
They're all going slightly insane from lead poisoning.
Yeah. And there's like, and they've just got that really glossy tester's paint.
Oh, yeah. 100% that you can't get off for anything.
Yeah, it's just like, this paint would come off. It's been soaking and in a sonic cleaner for years.
Yeah. You got like you have it in a sandblaster.
It's not working.
There's a guy I watch on YouTube. He does restorations of like old shit.
I've seen it.
He's like my favorite, hands down. And he gets out that sandblaster. I'm like, fuck yeah, get out that sandblaster.
He does a lot of the powder coating painting, right?
Yes, he does powder coated painting.
And he says nothing in his videos, right?
Yes. Yep. And that's what.
Yeah, I watch that guy. His stuff's good.
I actually ape his priming style, like how he uses like the swish motion.
Mm-hmm.
It's my priming has gotten 1,000 times better since then. I have not had one bad priming issue since I started priming like him. The only time I've ever had bad priming is if I do like a kind of like a more of like a stand and spray. But now you do the swish and it works so much better. Mm-hmm. You use a lot more primer.
You use a lot more paint.
But it's not as bad as you think.
Right.
But yeah, the Cities of Sigmar, it's a solid book. I'm super happy with it. You could make a lot of soupy lists, and you don't have to worry too much about it. Like, I personally think the city's themes are fine, but they're not really like super broke. Like, so they're just like, oh yeah, these bonuses can kind of be useful, but if you actually play them like the way that Games Workshop wants them to be played, they're like, these are useless. Like, that, like, oh, it's I have this unit here, but this unit is not as good as this unit, so I'm not gonna pay the extra points for this unit when I could just take this unit and it's better. Like, do you get what I'm saying on that?
Yeah, the nastiest combo I heard was that you can, there's some way where you can field a city's army that also gets the Tides rule from Idyneth Deepkin.
And was that like the Fog of War?
I don't know. The Idyneth Deepkin has it's the Tides where like they have like on turn one their army gets one buff, then turn two their army gets another buff.
Oh yeah. Hammerhall gets something similar.
Yeah, there's some way to do that. Maybe. Or I don't remember. Someone was talking about it in a thread of how to make Gotrek playable, And however it's done, I don't know if it's cities, it might actually be an Idenith Deepkin army where you ally Gotrek in. But whatever the case is, giving Gotrek the Tides rules makes him very good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hammerhall, for example, if anything's on your side of the table, you get like a defensive bonus. If you're on the opponent's side of the table, you get an offensive bonus.
That's pretty good.
So it's pretty cool. The Hammerhall, I think, is probably the most solid, especially if you're fielding a lot of units, because you get that command roll. Like, you, for every flag, if you roll a six on a command roll, well, I mean, for every flag you have, if you roll a six, you get an extra command point.
That's very strong.
So if you have, like, let's say 10 banners out on the table, probably going to get two extra command points.
The Looney Boys have that. The Night Goblins, let me tell you, it fucking sucks when your opponent just, like, rolls three sixes and you're like, fuck! That's three unbreakable goblin units now.
Yeah, it's something very, it's very similar.
Because yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, now it's like, you're like, I'm going to, that greatsword unit's going to break. And then it's like, nope, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. That one greatsword is going to hold up your whole unit for a turn. It's like, fuck!
Yeah.
He's bravely just hacking away with his Vihander.
Yeah, there's some brutal stuff in there, but as I say, you don't have to play it the way that they design it in order to still be a successful. That is probably going to be, I'm not going to say for sure because I haven't seen it in any tournaments or anything yet, but I guarantee you it's at least going to be A level.
Maybe it'll be good.
S, but I bet you it could be S.
It'll be good. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be Flesh Eater Quartz tier, but it'll be good.
Yeah. Then the orc book, I still think is kind of lame. Going over the orcs.
I really like the orc book. I think it's a good addition. I think there's gonna be some pretty strong armies out of there.
Well, I guess it's just boring as fuck.
Oh, they don't have a lot of choices, but I mean, no, that's orcs don't. Though. Orcs are you.
No, no, no.
You put
they
them on
the used
table.
To have a lot of choices, but Games Workshop was like, nah.
No. Orcs. Orcs had a lot of choices because they also had goblins.
Yeah, well, not
you,
even
if you pull off the goblin choices from the old orc book, they wasn't that deep of a codex. You had regular orcs.
Yeah.
You had black orcs.
Yeah.
You had the orc heroes.
Yeah.
And that was it.
No. Well, I mean, but
oh, and a chariot.
You had chariots. You had boar riders.
And boar riders. Yes.
Yeah. And so right now, all they have now is the Wild Orcs, whatever those guys were called.
The Savage Boys.
Mm-hmm. Savage Boys.
You got Savage Boys and Savage Boy Riders.
Mm-hmm. Plus the characters. And then for the Iron Jaws, you have Black Orcs, the big Black Orcs.
The Brutes. And then the new Boar Riders.
And the, what's it called? The big guy in the dragon.
The Punch Dragon. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a ton. I mean, so you lost regular Orcs, you lost stone throwers, you lost...
Regular Boar Riders. Oh, I count all the artillery as goblin choices, because it's all goblin crews.
I'll give you it for like the spear chuckas, but we got the
there was the orc bully for the
stone thrower. Technically, you still have giants, which can ally
new giants.
You could ally them still, and you could ally everything still. Yeah. But what else?
You missed the regular orc choices, so you miss orc boys, orc boar boys, orc,
yeah,
stone throwers, chariots. That's what's gone. That's what's out of the list.
I guess
the goblins were such a huge swath, because you got to remember when you had that book, it had not only goblins, but it had night goblins
and forest goblins.
So like that army was very bloated with stuff that wasn't orcs.
Yeah,
it should have been called goblins and orcs, because there were way more goblin choices.
I guess
the other thing about that book though is that the Iron Jaws boar riders, the tusks or whatever,
yeah,
they got an insane level of buffs, and they are possibly one of the best units in the game right now, if not the best unit in the game.
Yeah.
They're very, very strong. So mm-hmm. that you're gonna see, because they're one of the not super scary but interesting lists from the previous book was the all mounted Iron Jaws list, and it was interesting because you would get an 18-inch move before the game started, and then you could also first turn charge with their battalion. So you basically, like, you made contact with everything. Like, there's no board size where you couldn't charge your entire army in the first turn. But it was kind of like, because the Iron Jaws, they were a very heavy point sink and not super strong. Now, they're less points and stronger. So that list will probably be... interesting, to say the least. It'll have some play.
Now we're still waiting on the ogres to see what comes back for
the
ogres.
The Maw tribes,
because we have the
fingers crossed for the Blar.
For the Blar, the Noblar.
The Noblar.
Noblar.
Yeah. Noblar. Feeling it.
Mwah. Feeling it.
A little Sammy Sosa blar.
Yeah. I love coming and I love playing with the Ogre Kingdoms. Yeah, the ogres, we'll see. The Beast Claw Raiders are going to get an upgrade, and we'll see what else gets dropped in that book, because I don't know if you'll see those old kits come back. They've been really, really wonky about putting those old kits in.
I don't know. I think you're going to see some kit removal. It's rough because the ogres didn't have that many kits to begin with.
No.
So like, even saying something like, I think they might cut like the great weapon ogres. They might cut the lead belchers.
I bet you they'll keep the lead belchers, but I bet you they'll dump the old standard ogre, like the six bull? Man box.
Mm,
and they'll keep the great weapon one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you only get four and they make them more expensive that
right,
way.
But the bulls are the ones that have all their like options. I don't know. I think it's more likely that they don't drop any kits. They just put them in new boxes.
I think so.
Because they don't have enough.
Yeah, and like all the cool shit's still in either resin or metal. So.
Right. So there's a good chance that they'll just do reboxes and then they'll do a new plastic kit.
Oh, that'd be nice. They have to do a new. I think they're going to put out a new hunter for Underworlds. Personally, myself, I think that's what's going
to
come out.
Well, the thing with that, if they're going to do an Underworld hunter, they don't need to put it in the normal book because it could just be like. By the Shadespire box.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They'll put the Hunter in the book, and they'll just be
there's going to be a new Nurgle release for Shadespire, and that's probably going to be a very good unit. So
there's a theory. One of the art cards that came out, I think it was in Grimwatch, which I'll talk about in a minute, has like spider legs, and I'm like, oh, Steve would love that guy. He's like a big old Blight
an
King.
Ogre with spider legs?
No, a Blight King with spider legs.
Oh,
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. So I could talk about that. With the Underworlds.
Ah, shit.
Can I talk about the most busted Underworlds release of all time?
The ghouls?
The ghouls are so fucking broke in that game. I did a tournament last weekend. Wasn't very happy with it, but you know what? It's a tournament. Steve knows how crappy
it's
Underworlds
a Shadespire tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't. I did really well in my first game. I got slaughtered in my second game because I played against Malag, and there was just nothing. It was nothing you could do.
The only my advice to you against Molag is there's a generic ploy where you can play it if you are adjacent to an enemy fighter.
Yeah.
And it permanently turns all of their attacks into swords. They have to roll swords for their attacks.
Yeah, Molag's just really fucking broke. It's ridiculous. It's no fun to play against. I mean, here's the thing is like if they were strong and you could at least play against them, it was okay. But you can't play against him. He's just too, I don't know. It's too wonky. It's too different. It's too strong. It's whatever. I don't care. It's fine. Just people play what they want
to
play.
I'm sure there's a way to beat him because he has to roll dice.
Yes.
That was the only unbeatable Shadespire lists were the ones where you didn't need to roll dice.
Oh. And it's a little weird. It was a season three, so you couldn't put any of your season one cards in there, and there were some really good ones in there that would have helped. And
yeah, so then that kind of throws things up in the air as well.
Yeah. So the going back to it, they had the Grimwatch are just ridiculous. I've seen them score multiple games over 20 glory per game.
Well, they are they when I looked at them, they looked like they were the Korn original Korn war band, but you could bring models back. So I was just kind of like, that seems better.
No, actually they're the Dark Oath, but they could bring models back.
I never played with the Dark Oath.
They're very similar to the original Korn.
They looked very much to me like the Korn war band because it was like you have a bunch of shitter guys that are fast and fragile. But your shitter fast guys can come back, and then you have your like good models that can't come back.
I think an old school Magor list or Magor deck could wreck them, but they're fucking good. But that's part of the problem with the tournament, and I agree with you like with the whole shit Underworlds tournaments like where it's based off glory, like that's your scoring. So this tournament that I went to, it was three games. Each game had three matches, right? It's fair. So you're playing about nine games, and you could play nine games total.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 is the standard.
So, but the way that they were ranking it was based off of, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but was based on glory. So if you played three games, like you won two matches and lost one, you'd have more glory than if you just dominated two games.
Right. Kevin and I would discuss frequently how that was a broken scoring system and how what you should do for game one is win as hard as possible. Game two, you should lose as narrowly as possible. And game three, win as hard as possible.
Yeah. I agree with that. And it's kind of like, that's kind of weird. Yeah, right?
I mean, I did that at a tournament where it was Total Glory, and I was just like, well, I get, because I could control, because you can control what objectives you score. So I just looked at what my opponent would score, and I just kept one. I kept one under glory each. Mm-hmm. So turn one or round one, I fucking destroyed him. It was like 25-0, and then turn round two or match two against the same guy, I was just like, I just stayed one under his glory the whole time. I was just like, he's at 8, I'm at 7. He's at 9, I'm at 8. And then the third one, I just did a huge thing to. And then at that point, it was like, oh, I guess I won the tournament now, because yeah. I have so much glory. No one's gonna come near me.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, oh, this is ridiculous. But also, and Kevin will appreciate this, because he was actually in the game that caused me to have to leave in round for the turn three, game three, because I was like, I have to go home to my family. I know some people don't have to go home to their families, but I have to go home to my family. The tournament was supposed to be over at 4. Game 3 didn't start till 4. But yeah, it was because the TO was playing Kevin, and Kevin's Grimwatch was like fucking dominating the game. And the good TO was like, I don't want to end my game, because if I end it now, I'm going to lose.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
I was just kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. I'm not a tournament player. You know that.
But Shadespire is the ultimate competitive miniatures game.
Yes. And I just like playing with my painted minis. So my painted soldiers.
Yeah, I'm playing a game of Age of Sigmar today, too. And oh. I have those Nurgle guys that are like halfway done.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, can't do it. I gotta just use the painted guys. So I'm like trying to build a
really
list.
I guess if it's not like there's nothing on the line for it,
I can't field the half painted guys. I gotta do the fully painted. So I'm just like, nope. I'll just have to write a
young
list.
Young Giuseppe was in the tournament too.
That's what I'm playing.
Oh,
in Age of Sigmar. Yeah, he's bringing his loony boys. But I'm like, I can't bring these half painted models. They've got to be fully painted.
Yeah. But right now the Grimwatch are fucking broke. They're not broke. They're just really strong. I think, and they're the solid deck. And we talked about this in the last cast. I didn't really update it because we didn't have a cast last time. But my whole thing was that I wanted to see how strong the pre-built decks were for the whatever faction
the
it
new
was.
Bands.
Mm-hmm. I would put them at about a 70%. You have to get rid of about 30% of the cards, replace them with better cards.
Okay.
So, for example,
that's very strong, though. Like, compared to the previous warbands, where you're like, every card into the garbage.
Yeah. Well, so like, for example, the maximum amount of glory that you can score in most of these pre-built decks is between like 16 and 17 glory, because they have no like 3 or 4 scores. So you have to swap out at least 3 of the objectives based with like some 3s or 4s. Now you probably have to replace about 4 of the cards with 3 score or 4 score, just to remain competitive in a tournament. And most of their upgrades are really good, are decent at least. You don't have to put any really generic upgrades in there. Sometimes you do, you know, mostly don't. The only upgrades that you really need to replace are the ones that are like, upgrade Goon 1. And I'm like, why would I want to upgrade? Why would I spend one of my glory to upgrade Goon 1? That doesn't make any sense. He's just a goon.
Well, I mean, if I were playing that that ghoul list, my goal would definitely be to put the strongest weapon upgrades on the guys who can come back, because you just like slap a really good weapon on them and you just recklessly charge with them, try and kill models with the great weapon they have, and then when they die, they just come back. Because that was the negative of upgrading all of the in every other faction is like, yeah, you put that really good like Hero Slayer sword on that guy who's just garbage and now he's dead.
Now he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
With the ghouls, you'd be like, and he's back.
And he brings
the sword with him.
Yeah. And that's the other dumb thing is that they ruled so that when a person comes back, they have all their upgrades. So it's like,
that's good.
Why would you... Some of the reading the FAQs for Underworld is hysterical, because it's like, who is making these decisions? My favorite one is there's a card called Crown of Avarice. I don't know if you came across this.
It's like, someone was telling me about
it. So you put it on your guy, and if your guy is killed,
they don't get a glory and you get one?
No. So that's the original reading of it is that if your guy is killed, you get to take an unused glory from your opponent.
Okay. So you steal a glory.
You steal a glory if it's unused on the other side. However, they ruled it so that it's like, oh, no, if you're dead, you just get the glory that the guy would got from you. And it's like, that defeats the whole purpose of the card.
Yeah, that means that's a huge buff.
It's a huge buff.
That's and even like, better.
And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I use it now because it's like the FAQ, but I feel like it's like, wow, what a stupid fucking FAQ on this.
Yeah, well, that's not an FAQ. That's an errata.
Well, errata. So, errata FAQs.
Well, there's
I know the difference between errata and FAQ.
That's a thing. I don't think Games Workshop does. Because they've definitely had some things that were just like someone would ask a rules question and their answer was like, that's an errata. That's not answering this question. Like, yeah. You've changed the way this card functions.
As I've always have said, is rules should not be written by British people. They are the worst rules writers on the planet. Like, I love Alessio Cavatori. His games.
He's also Italian, though.
Well, it's true. But he's lived in UK long enough.
You think it's long enough to fry his brain?
Oh, yeah.
With the bangers
long enough to fry his brain. Yeah, all that fried food just does not do well for the Italian body.
The baked beans for breakfast.
Yes. Rick Priestley, all those guys, it's like they write these amazing rule sets, but the second they have to make any sort of change to those rule sets, fuck the game. It's done. You know, the game is done.
You know what never had that problem?
What?
Warmaster,
it's true. It's because there's only one edition.
And it's really good.
There was a bunch of FAQs.
Yeah, there was a lot of updating to Warmaster, and they never fucked it up.
No, they did not.
And the only actual issue that Warmaster ever had was E-Formation Bowman, and it was a very simple fix where tournaments just said, you can't do it. like we understand that by the letter of the law, by the like exact ruling of the... And even me, who I'm a huge fan of playing to the letter of the rules.
I am as well.
I agreed with the ban of E-Formation Bowman. I think it was something that like was clearly an oversight and not like no one wanted that to be in the game. And just like someone was just like, if I did this, does it work? And then like they played with it and they're like, oh my god, it's broken. So yeah, that being banned is fine. But other than that, Warmaster, it's the perfect rule set.
Yeah,
it's still the perfect rule set.
Every rule set that I've ever seen that has an FAQ, errata, or a second edition from a British rules perspective has been terrible.
You know what? The current rule set for Lord of the Rings is phenomenal. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, but it had to like go through how many editions of bullshit.
We're on technical edition
like
11 of Age of Sigmar.
That's true. Yeah.
Cause you have 8 editions of Warhammer, then you have the first AOS, then you have AOS 2, and now the General's Handbook's changed a lot. So I'm going to say you have AOS Raw, then you have the first two General's handbooks. Now AOS 2 with another General's Handbook.
Yeah, I don't... I'll give you... Okay, so I will say we're on edition 10, but there was definitely a...
10.5.
Yeah, well, a 10.1.
Okay, 10.1.
Yeah, because there was definitely a 9.1, a 9.2,
yes.
And then 10.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's not like AOS is immune from the stupid fucking errata.
No, there's definitely some things.
And to call any Games Workshop game a real war game is kind of just
that's gonna do. Lord of the Rings isn't a war game. Lord of the Rings is a skirmish game.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say a war game because it's more like whoever buys the most expensive shit and puts it on the table usually wins. So.
Sometimes,
yeah.
The one case I know that where that was 100% like 10,000% true was the super expensive Sisters of Battle Army that no one played except for that one dude who went completely undefeated at like a 10-round tournament because his army was like $4,000.
Speaking of $4,000 armies, how about that new Eldar release? Did you see how much it cost?
Someone said it was 140 euros or pounds.
$260 US.
That's expensive.
Yes, for the new plastic Howling Banshees. So, you know, all those Xenos players are going like, yay, no, yay, no. So that's, there you go there. But whatever, that's what they get for playing a baby's game, right, Steve?
It's Steve Irwin once said. I'd rather be stung to death by stingrays than play a baby's game like 40K. And you know what? He put his money where his mouth was.
And he did. He never played 40K, I'll tell you that. So, yeah, that's what we have going on there. That's pretty on the ridiculous side. All right, let's back away from Warhammer for a second.
People are still going to buy the fuck out of that box.
They are going to buy they love the box sets. Box sets sell like hotcakes, and hotcakes sell really well because they're hotcakes and they're delicious.
It's true. People love hotcakes.
So I want to talk about a movie I saw this last week.
I saw Midsommar.
Oh, did finally? What'd you think?
It's good.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good as Hereditary, but it's good.
It's trippy. I love it.
Yeah, it's good. The the like all of the stuff like moving that shouldn't be moving. That was pretty good.
I loved it. I still I got to see the lighthouse, but I have to.
I do want to see the lighthouse as well.
Came out this Friday. I
will say the
why'd you spill the beans?
The one thing about the one thing I did not like about, or rather, the one thing I liked the most about Midsommar is you're just like, I don't like every one of these people being horribly mutilated deserves it. Like
exactly,
you
100%.
See some fucking random gargantuan Swede in your class is like, yeah, come with me to visit Sweden and see my crazy commune. And like the picture he shows you to entice you there is like a field with a bunch of people in like stark white robes and flowers in their hair. As soon as I see that, I'm just like, I'm good, dude. You have fun.
Well, and here's my thing is like they were all like really shitty people too.
Yeah,
like
they were.
And so it's like, but like,
well, I'm possibly the British couple might have been okay.
They might have been okay, but they were British. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the least genuine sorry of all time.
That was the least genuine sorry of all time. No, but I mean, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, I could dig this lifestyle, man. I'm all for it.
You're all for being in a cult.
If it wasn't for like the Swedish like awful looking food, I would be all for that cult. Like the food, I was just like,
The herring, you have to eat the herring.
I'm okay with the herring. It's just everything looks so bland and gross. Like, have you ever eaten at an IKEA? It's fine, but it's like, eh.
I've never eaten at an IKEA actually. No, I did. I had a cookie. It was all right.
The IKEA, it's cheap. So sometimes if you're shopping at IKEA, you're like, let's just eat at IKEA.
Well, they're using that horse meat meatballs.
Oh, you know what though? I'm okay with horse meat meatballs. Horses have too high an opinion of themselves. I think we got to take them down a notch.
I can't agree.
Man, look at them standing there with their giant horse cocks.
I mean, they do have giant horse cocks.
That's what I'm saying. Take them down a notch.
This is what you get for having such a big dick.
Making the meatballs right. Listen to polka music.
That's
Italian.
Whatever.
Pizza, the tarantula.
Pasta, put it in a box, deliver it to my house and put it on my cock, tortellini on my weenie, ravioli on the walls, cheesy on my peenie, and some salsa on my balls.
Hey! good times. No, I saw Jane Silent Bob reboot.
Jane Silent Bob. Oh, I didn't even know that came out.
They did the Fathom event, so it was like, okay. That's coming. I think it's like getting mass release later.
This is an early thing?
Yeah, early thing. Kevin Smith just doesn't care anymore about directing. Like he
did he ever really?
I'll say like some of his earlier stuff has got some pretty decent directing in it, and like even some of his later stuff. Like I will go to bat for Tusk. I like Tusk.
That movie's fucking awful.
I will go to bat for Tusk.
Fight me like a walrus.
It's like I think it's just goofy enough. It's like the tone and like the goofy aspects of it just mash well enough to tickle that part of my brain to enjoy it. Red State, I really like.
Red State is a really good. I think Red State is Kevin Smith's best movie.
It could be.
Movie wise, I think, like, in terms of, like, not like it, I'm judging this as a Kevin Smith movie, but judging it as a movie, I think Red State's his best movie.
Yeah. I Yoga Hosers was fucking awful.
That movie looked really fucking. I haven't seen it. It looked terrible.
It was bad, bad. And this movie was Yoga Hosers level directing bad. I liked a lot of the nods to his previous stuff. I'm still consider myself a Kevin Smith fanboy. I really like his podcasts. I love Fat Man on Batman. I think that's one of the best.
He can't call it Fat Man on Batman anymore. He's no longer Fat Man.
It's Fat Man Beyond is what it's called now.
Fat Man Beyond. Yes. I like that.
Yes, he could have called it Fat Man on Batman because he had Batman in it.
Well, also,
yes,
he's not Fat Man.
He's not Fat Man anymore. But, man, and here's the thing, too. It's like I appreciate Jay Muse and his struggles with drug and alcohol abuse, or just drug abuse, but he got his teeth fixed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you go do drugs, you lose all your teeth.
Right.
His teeth are so fucking distracting in this movie because they're too straight and too white.
They look perfect.
They look too perfect. I'm like, that's not normal, man. That's not normal.
There's actually a lot. I was, I don't know, interesting, just random factoid. I started seeing that there's like a... It's like a new wave in dentistry where like they have like super imperfect teeth replacements. So like when they implant them, like you can't tell. Like it's just like, it's because like they even do like some wearing on a few and like some chips. And then like when like you talk and like when you smile and stuff, your teeth look super normal because they are very irregular.
Yes, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, that
won't work in Korea, man.
That's a recent trend.
They want crazy perfect teeth in Korea. Those Koreans. Was really? It like 1 in 3 people in Korea have had plastic surgery? It's some like ridiculous number.
I don't know.
You're not a K-pop fan?
I absolutely do. If I see K-pop in the bio, I block.
You block. You're like, you have a K-pop picture in your Twitter account. Your opinion doesn't matter. And they're like, well, you have an anime picture.
No. Two factors. One, I don't have an anime picture. And two, I don't interact with them, so they would already be blocked. I wouldn't be able to tell them that I'm blocking them because they have a K-pop picture, because they're already blocked.
Your love of the Japanese culture is very similar to the Japanese, how they feel about Korea as well. You're like, ew, Koreans.
No, I don't mind Korea or Koreans, but K-pop, out.
I was going to say, who doesn't love Korean barbecue? It's one of the best things on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge kimchi fan, though.
I love kimchi.
Some people really
do. But we had the discussion about fermented foods. Yeah. I'm a fermented foods fan.
Yeah, I like some.
Not meat. I'm I will try. If you give
Skander's not going to bring in any fermented char.
You give me anything fermented, I will try it unless it's meat.
Yeah.
We're going to pass on the fermented meat.
What about that cheese, that karumasu from Italy?
Is it the maggot cheese?
The maggot cheese.
I'll pass on the maggot cheese because I hear that's actually incredibly dangerous to eat.
Yeah,
because
they jump up into your eyes. You don't wear glasses.
And they can like bite your esophagus while you're going
you
down.
You got to chew it properly.
Yeah, you can definitely like kill yourself by eating that fucking cheese.
But is it the most dangerous food, the most delicious food?
I'm also not interested in maggot cheese, to be honest. Like, we're going to throw it out
there. But as we all know, the most dangerous food is the most delicious.
I've heard fugu is not really that good.
No, it just makes your mouth numb.
Yeah, it's fugu is like a ooh. Yeah. Like, look at this thing I did. And I'm not super opposed to eating insects, but I have no desire to eat anything alive while it's alive. Unless it's very small. So yogurt, we're good.
Yeah, you know, crickets are fine. I've had.
I wouldn't eat them alive.
Well, no, I wouldn't eat them alive either. I like most good Americans. I like my crickets deep fried.
I had cricket potato chips. Well, they were not potato chips. They're just cricket chips. Yeah. They're called chirps. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's like Snowpiercer where you got the big bug machine.
The cockroach machine.
The cockroach machine.
Yeah,
the baby's just delicious.
Yeah, it was yeah.
Yeah. But the, so I saw that, and most of my other stuff I've been watching this week has all been, like, really bad 80s horror comedies.
Oh, I've been watching a ton of horror movies.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, I've been watching Creepshow on Shudder.
Yeah, I have yet to, I don't have Shudder currently, so.
Oh, it's, Creepshow's real good. I can get you a promo code for 30 days free.
Yeah, probably. I'd watch it. I'm going to watch the Halloween, the last episode with Kevin. This weekend. We're going to have a little Halloween marathon.
The most recent one?
Yeah.
With somehow still hot Jamie Lee Curtis?
I don't know if I'd go. Not that Halloween. The Halloween episode of Creepshow. They had, like, the last episode is Halloween themed.
I see.
So we're gonna watch that one. We're also gonna watch. What the fuck are we gonna watch? We're watching something he's getting. We're gonna watch the Dead Can't Die, the zombie flick that what's his face did, Jim Jarmusch did.
Oh, I haven't seen it. If you are watching on Shudder, watch One Cut of the Dead. I haven't seen it yet, but I have never seen a movie get more praise in my life.
I watched Return to Horror High. I watched Sorority House Massacre.
You gotta watch Shopping Mall.
I know. I'm gonna watch Shopping Mall. Last night I watched 1985's classic horror comedy, The Stuff. You ever seen that one?
I love The Stuff.
It's like when you get attacked by Martian.
Can't get enough of that stuff.
When you Abe Vigoda's in it for some odd reason,
and it's got the dude from fucking Law and Order.
It does.
He what's his name? John, or who's the director of that?
I don't know who the director is.
He's the same guy who directed Q the White Serpent.
Oh really? Wow, that's a deep pull.
And fuck.
It does.
he did, Roger Corman? Roger Corman.
I don't think Roger Corman did Roger this Corman? Stuff.
No.
No. I don't think so.
Whoever the director is, he loved that guy, the dude from Law and Order, and apparently the dude from Law and Order was like notoriously difficult to work with, but he just was in a fuck ton of movies.
Larry Cohen directed.
Larry Cohen. That's who it is.
Larry Cohen.
Yeah, Larry Cohen, and he directed a shit ton of movies like that. He did Q the Winged Serpent, and
He directed Phone Booth, which is a very underrated 2000. Oh, he wrote it 2002.
Isn't that the movie where Colin Farrell is in the
phone booth
and there's
with
a sniper?
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I heard it's really good, actually.
But that was the... He also did Maniac Cop.
I love Maniac Cop.
But that was Phone Booth was one of those like really like 2002 was a year where we got like six Colin Farrell movies and everyone was sick of Colin Farrell. And Phone Booth came out and everyone was like, why don't we get to see this? And it's a really fucking good movie. It's not great. Don't get me wrong. The premise doesn't make a shit ton of sense. But it's cool.
There's actually a movie I haven't seen yet, but it's a horror movie, and it's about a sniper, and it's basically
American Sniper.
No, that's just bad. It's essentially a slasher flick, except instead of the maniac being like a knife wielding stalker, he's a sniper. He like shoots the bullets out or bullet. He shoots the bullets out. He shoots the tires out on this like teen van. And then, like, the teen van gets out, and they're trying to fix their tire while he's sniping at them.
my favorite thing about this stuff, and I literally watched this last night, is the amount of, like, relatively famous people in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
That are not, like super famous, but they're famous enough. Like, Garrett Morris comes out trying to do kung fu on the guy, and you're like, he's like, Chocolate Chip Charlie, and I'm like, what the fuck
yeah,
is
that's
going
Chocolate
on?
Chocolate Chip Charlie.
And I'm like, what the? And then like Danny Aiello shows up and he gets killed by his dog who's puking up that marshmallow fluff.
Yes.
And like you can tell it's just like a puppet head with like a force.
Yeah, someone's I'm holding like, it like.
And Danny Aiello's like, no, 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 and you're like, Danny Aiello, Mookie, that was Saul. And then you have like fucking Paul Sorvino shows up as the crazy fucking general.
Yes.
And you're like
the crazy right wing general.
You're like, this is the fucking weirdest movie ever. Like people are just getting killed by marshmallow.
He won't
fluff.
Let Chocolate Chip Charlie in the room because he's black.
it's probably up there on like that 80s level of horror comedy that you should watch. Like it's if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's not nowhere near as good as like the remake of The Blob or something like that.
No,
but.
And it's I would say it's not even at the tier of like
it's about as good as Night of the Comet.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I'd say it's slightly worse than Return of the Living Dead. That's what I'd say.
What about Night of the Creeps? Where would you put it with Night of the Creeps?
Slightly better than Night of the Creeps.
You think it's better than Night of the Creeps?
Slightly. It's very comparable. It's at the Night of the Creeps tier. Maybe, you know what, that's exactly it. They're at the same tier.
Yeah. There's like the like awesome horror comedy of the 80s, like Reanimator, but then you have like that second...
Reanimator's possibly the best like movie of all time.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Who's gonna believe a talking head? Go get a job at a sideshow. But I mean, that movie's completely carried by Jeffrey Combs. Like,
yeah,
he's just absolutely kills,
no. Because the other guy too, the evil.
That's
doctor,
true. The villain is excellent.
He's just everything about that movie's excellent.
Yeah, that's true.
The fucking cat puppet. I think is one of the funniest things.
Jeffrey Combs fighting with that cat puppet. Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah,
he was actually in an episode of Creepshow. He came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey Combs is just in everything.
It's true.
But yeah, I would recommend The Stuff. I probably haven't seen that since 95, 96, but I was like, this movie holds up 100% because it's so 80s, it's wonderful. But yeah, that's been my main movie watching. We have yet to... I was going to go see the Addams Family movie, but we opted against it.
The CG movie?
Yeah, I just...
It looks bad.
It looks bad, yeah. I'm not... I'll maybe wait for that one to come out in video.
It certainly does not look like Raul Julia level.
No. But whatever. They're trying to make it look like the old Charles Adams cartoons, like the actual drawings, which is not great. Raul Julia redefined the Addams Family for a generation. Generations.
That's true.
And so, that's where we have that. All right. Gaming stuff. What other? I had like a list of gaming shit we needed to talk about. Oh, the Games Plus auction was a couple weeks back. So, did you ever want to get into War Machine Hordes for dirt cheap?
No.
Because that's what it's going for right now. I sold off all my War Machine Hordes at the right time.
Yeah.
Because you can't get... It's for nickels on the dollar.
Ooh.
Nickels on the dollar. It's bad. There was a lot of that getting sold, so I do not... And also, when I was at the auction, there were 8 copies of a Song of Ice and Fire minigame going.
Nice.
And I think they ended up going for, I think it was like about 40 to 45 a piece.
It's not much.
It's not... I mean, they got them free from Adepticon, so that's, you know, that's how that went on that end. Yeah, the...
Oh, and Brain Damage. That's another good one.
I don't remember.
It's directed by the same guy who did Basket Case.
I probably know that one. I just can't
think of it. It's got the drug worm that, like, sings in the fucking shower scene.
Oh, I don't remember that.
All right. You should watch Basket Case.
I watch Basket Case.
I mean Brain Damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've
seen Basket Case, sir.
The protagonist of Basket Case actually makes a cameo in Brain Damage.
The protagonist.
Yeah. The protagonist.
The protagonist.
Protagonist.
I call him the protagonist.
Protagonist.
Yes. But yeah, that's my horror update. I gotta go see the fucking Lighthouse. That's the thing. I kind of want to see Jojo Rabbit too, but I just don't care. It looks like a movie that I would have really enjoyed about in 2015 before Donald Trump became president. And now I'm just like, Nazis. I can't enjoy a movie where a person like a Nazi learns that he's on the wrong side by befriending a Jew. It's like, it's a trope that would have been made, like, I would have been okay with in 2015, but nowadays I'm just like, oh yes, the only way you could get away from your shitty values is if you see someone that you love being oppressed by them. I get it 100%. I love Taika Waititi, but I cannot I don't know, I might wait for that one to come out in video so to fully enjoy it. Yeah, my comic book logic Kevin really is excited about it, but that's because he's one of those movie buffs that likes to go see movies where people deal with things. So
I only want to see people deal with how many bullets are left in their machine gun.
That's right. Like John Rambo. They're coming out with a new Rambo movie, right? That's coming out?
I think it's already out. I think it failed very miserably.
Did it really?
Yeah, I don't remember. Last Blood.
Oh, did that come out already? I think I would have went and seen that. I don't think it's out yet. I don't think it came out yet.
You might be right.
I know I'm right. Oh, all right.
It's playing right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
It's probably limited release, though.
It's at the Marcus Classic Cinema.
Oh,
you watch it right now. There's like 8 showings at the Marcus.
Oh. Well, there you go.
It has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 27% on Fandango.
Oh, that's not good. Rambo, Les Blood.
It has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
I only want to see it if it's like, he's probably like in fucking Cambodia or Nam or something. I don't know what it's about. I want to see him go back to Colorado and kill a bunch of fucking policemen. That's what I want to see.
Nice.
It's like the original one. Now one where he's in jail and they send him to fucking...
Or the one where they dedicate it to the brave Mujahideen fighters of Afghanistan.
The brave fighters of the Mujahideen.
Yes, Mujahideen. Yes, yes, yes.
keep reaching for that rainbow. Oh, God. Rambo 3 is a fucking piece of American cinema,
yeah,
right there.
I've never been a big Rambo fan.
It's not my favorite.
I like Stallone movies, but Rambo has never been one of the series that I've enjoyed. I like Cobra. Cobra's good.
That's the one with Brigitte Nielsen, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Over the Top. Which I feel is still Stallone, not his best movie, but almost his best movie. I think his best movie is actually Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Demolition Man's really fucking good.
What's your boggle?
What is your boggle, John Spartan?
No, they said that to Wesley Snipes when he's trying to punch the glass. He says, what's your boggle?
Yeah, what's your boggle?
What's your boggle, friend? And he goes, my boggle. And throws him in there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic piece of futuristic dystopian / utopian cinema.
Yep. And it has the Taco Bell logo. All restaurants are Taco Bell.
They won the franchise wars of the 1990s.
You know, in the UK, in the UK release, that's Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Yes, because they didn't have Taco Bell.
That's right.
And the only problem with it is it's got crazy Dennis Leary in it. Like, now Dennis Leary, can't stand him. So it's like, I see anything I'm having, I see Dennis Leary in like a 90s movie.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he's gone the way of like Dennis Miller and all of them, where it's just like, I'm too offensive. Here's me being offensive. People won't let me be offensive anymore. And it's like,
I don't think you understand what offensive means.
You were fine when no one realized that you were ripping off Bill Hicks. Then once everyone realized you're ripping off Bill Hicks, people stopped caring about you.
I don't know who Bill Hicks is.
Oh, Bill Hicks? He's a great comedian who just ripped off Lenny Bruce.
Very good.
Yeah, and Dennis Leary, and now Bill Burr is just basically ripping off Dennis Leary. So you probably know who Bill Burr is, though, right?
Bill Burr.
He's angry. He's an angry comedian who's only angry because people don't like it when he's angry.
I don't know. All I know is that like the current state of stand up is just like you just take a smug stock photo of a white dude and put like triggered in a weird font with a question mark, and you have a Netflix special right there.
Yep. Pretty much.
I've always hated stand-up, so like for me, stand-up. It's not like not a loss. The only stand-up comedians I've ever liked were what's his name?
Jerry Seinfeld.
I actually only really liked Seinfeld the show. I never saw his stand-up.
It's basically the show is his stand-up.
All right.
Well, I mean, that opening, like the opening bits.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
He's okay.
What do they call it? Falling off the wagon. It should be called getting on the wagon.
Yeah. So I like his sitcom much better than I like his stand-up. Yeah. What's his name? Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan is
I like Jim
pretty
Gaffigan.
Classic 90s comedy.
Yeah, I like Jim Gaffigan. He's good.
What? Why?
I'm going to go eat a Cinnabon because I wanted to die. Yeah, like Jim Gaffigan, I enjoy.
Jim Gaffigan is the most vanilla comedy of all time. And it works.
You know what? It's just kind of funny.
I was obsessed with stand-up comedy throughout the 90s. Watch like old.
That was like the boom, right?
Yeah,
that was
well, like when Comedy Central would do like all of their stand-up shows, like they'd have those shows that were just taped stand-up. You know, guys in front of the brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
Classic, you know, like I would watch the hell out of those. My favorite is still probably Sinbad's comedy special. I will go toe-to-toe saying that is one of the funniest stand-up specials of all time. I liked all the blue-collar comedy tour stuff, most of the blue-collar comedy store stuff. I don't like the puppet guy. The puppet guy does not do
that anything. That guy sucks.
He's terrible. And he's like horribly racist. And even back like when he was first starting, when it was like people didn't know like horribly racist was a thing. Like now it's like even then I was like, this is racist and bad. Like this is offensive to all my senses. But the
here's a joke with about from during Dennis Leary's 2003 Comedy Central roast.
Yeah.
A comedian Lenny Clark said there was a carton of cigarettes backstage from Bill Hicks with a message, "Wish I had gotten these to you sooner." The joke was cut from the broadcast.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah, but as I'm saying, like Bill Hicks, he's great, but he did steal a lot of his routine from Lenny Bruce. Mm. So. And I don't know if Lenny Bruce technically stole it from anyone because he was kind of an original, but whatever. Lenny Bruce wasn't that funny. It was just like his way of telling stuff. He did get arrested and he did make a pretty decent movie from Dennis Hoffman about it called Lenny. So I would suggest watching that.
All right.
It makes it a little bit more dramatic than it actually was. All right. So do we have any more gaming stuff that we need to talk about? We were off for a week. We probably should have more shit that we need to talk about. No, nothing. Are you sure?
I got nothing, dude.
Got no magic shit.
The Throne of Eldraine came out. It's very popular. It's available in short supply.
Oh, role-playing game stuff. I did discover a new role-playing game. It's in a game that was released about 3 years ago. It's called Tales from the Loop. I'm sure you've seen. Yeah. Yeah. It's kids on bike.
Yeah.
One thing I like about it is there's not a lot of, and there's like zero to no violence in there, or little to no violence in it, and the kids cannot die. Like your NPCs cannot die, or not NPCs, your regular player characters cannot die.
Mm-hmm.
And which I really appreciated when I was looking through it. It's very much exploration and like living your mundane today life. And I'm actually going to be using it in a academic paper that I'm going to be writing.
Ooh.
Yes. So you might have that to look forward to, but I don't think I'm going to publish it.
I don't think anyone's going to look forward to that either.
Nope. No one looks forward to reading academic papers.
No.
You find the person who like really likes to read academic papers. Like when I was interviewing for jobs, you'd be like, "What's the last academic paper you read?" I'm like, "Who the fuck reads academic papers?" Like without being assigned by your boss to read an academic paper. This is ridiculous. Not that your boss would ever let
now,
you.
Now, if I were reading an academic paper about the thickest of asses, that's an academic paper I'd read.
Two like, C's, right?
Yeah. Yeah, two C's. That's an academic paper I'd read.
Be yeah. Like, all right. I mean, like if there
that's important research.
It is research.
Yes, important research.
Top this is, men.
This is just a shit ton of pornography. Yep.
Yep.
Sure is.
You know, it is that holiday season. It is the Halloween season where you get Halloween themed pornography. So
that's true. Yes. A lot of scantily clad witches.
Yes.
And nuns.
I watched the remake of Suspiria the other day, and this is the second time I've watched it. And I'm saying the whole premise of this is bullshit, because you get any woman in this modern age. I mean, no, this is 1960s, but you get any modern woman nowadays. give them a split second chance, they will enter into a all witch cult, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah,
like
they're probably already in a witch cult.
Yeah, we just don't even know.
Yeah,
they don't tell us men.
Yeah,
not that we're men, but they give them an opportunity. Boom, they're in a cult.
Yeah, they wouldn't tell actual men, not us.
No, not us. No. Especially if the robes had pockets.
It's true.
They would be in that witch cult in a second.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, "What do we got to do in this witch cult?" And they're like, "Kill men." And they're like, "All about it."
Yeah, they're like, I was already doing that in my free time. And I'm like, yeah.
So there's
But you know what? It's like, yeah, that's fair.
It's fair. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like you could be like the Alex Jones type where you're like, the women are joining witch cults. And that's more the Rush Limbaugh, but the women are joining witch cults and they're going to kill all of us men. And then there's the other guy. There's the other half that are like, I can see it.
Yeah, that's fair. as a middle-aged white guy, it's my honor and privilege to say that's fair.
Yeah, you get like, and the problem is, Steve. The problem is that there's no equivalent for guys. Like, there's no.
Yeah,
like,
it's called being an incel.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, because you get like that warlock cult thing going on. Like there's no such thing as like that warlock cult, because like a second there's a warlock, he's just gonna try and get a bunch of witches to join his cult, so it could be a sex cult. Like, if you get a bunch of guys together, like, we're going to practice magic, it's more of like...
Just go to the steam room.
Yeah, it's a, for get a bunch of guys together, and we're like, all right, we're going to have a magic cult. And they're like,
the equivalent is the gay bar.
Well, I think the equivalent is a Dungeons and Dragons game, is really what it is. It's like...
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like, we have our own spell books. It's the Dungeon Master's Guide. You open it up, and you get your spells out of there, and you roll, and you see if they happen. That's what it is. And you drink lots of Mountain Dew, and you eat potato chips.
It's true.
Or Doritos.
Funyuns.
Oh, God. Who brings Funyuns to a D&D game?
Funyuns were a 90s staple, I'll have you know.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have been. I mean, this is the 90s.
You
is,
tell me a superior chip in the 90s.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
No way. Cool Ranch Doritos, out. Funyuns, man.
And then the British are like, you could always have Mr. Fleister's pickle chips. And you're like...
Those Monster Munch chips, dude. Oh, I would have fucking, dude. Oh my god,
those things are disgusting on every level. Chips.
They were so good. I love the Monster Munch.
It's like we're gonna have a salt liver and onions chip.
Those are some good crisps.
Ugh, gross. Europeans should not be allowed to come up with junk food.
I don't know.
It was all perfected America. I'll give you the candy. They can do candy.
European candy is really
good. Well, let's be fair. Like, the Benelux region can do candy. Like, we'll even give it to France and stuff like that. Maybe Germans, Austrians, they can do candy. I'm not gonna go so much with the British and the Scandinavian candy as much.
I don't know. The Cadbury cream egg is pretty good.
The Cadbury cream egg is disgusting. If you want a mouthful of rabbit cum.
The American Cadbury cream egg is disgusting.
No, I've had a European one. They're so much better. Fucking the same.
You got see, that's the thing. You gotta crack it.
It's like the stuff. You're eating the stuff.
You gotta crack it and eat half and then eat the other half.
No, it's fucking disgusting. It's so good. It's like it's a mouthful of rabbit cum is what it is.
I love it.
It's like the kid. And they put the yellow center in there. And you're
ants
like, why
are
even?
Crawling in my mouth and I don't care.
It's like, why do we even bother at this point? Oh, well.
I love the Cadbury cream egg.
All right. So that's about it for this week. Go to Game Classy Podcast at Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us, talk with us. You could like our Facebook. You could like us on the iTunes. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe. You could also like us on the YouTube page, like, comment, subscribe there as well. I don't know why, but you can. You could also like our sister podcast. We have Shen Play on Neo.
We should be recording that next week.
Where Steve will be talking about...
King of Fighters 98.
King of Fighters 98. A game that's 20 years old.
The hottest new fighting game, King of Fighters 98.
It's where it's like, oh, are you going to pick the big fat guy who does a lot of damage or the skinny girl who can do a lot of kicks?
No, King of Fighters is a fuck ton of characters.
I know.
I love King of Fighters.
It's the standard. It's the way I make fun of Pat for fighting games. Like, oh, you pick the big guy. He's really strong,
Pat
right? But
pick
he's
the big
slow.
Guy.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. It's like I make all of the characters very generic. I'm like, oh, you like that little the girl because she could jump higher and she's quicker, right? That's why you like the girl, right?
I see.
Like.
Do you
like the one guy or the other guy that's just like the one guy, but he's slightly different?
See, Tekken and Street Fighter 4 would throw you for a loop because the giant fat guy in those games is very fast.
Yes. I will only play Eddie Gordo in any fighting game.
Eddie Gordo.
It's the only one I'll play. I'm like that guy who will only pick the one sports star that they know. And just like anytime sports come up, you're just like
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, like oh, we're talking about Bo Jackson? He played two sports, you know.
Yeah, Bo knows.
Bo knows basketball. Wait, he didn't play basketball.
Bo knows.
Bo knows.
He still knows.
Yeah. But that's what you say. You like the one, any fighting game, just say like, oh, is Eddie Gordo in that game? He's the other guy that I like. He does capoeira.
He does. This is spinning kicks.
Spinning kicks.
Ha! Ho!
All right. And then we also have Deconstructing Daycare, where adults talk about kid shows. So, Steve, until the next cast.
It could be bigger than Pokemon.
Game classy.